Today's message is called Honor, Using My Gifts to Serve the Lord. That's where we'll be heading in a few moments. But keeping with the theme of encouragement, I want to share a couple of statistics with you about how God's been at work in the life of our church. Now keep in mind, when we talk about statistics in ministry, we're talking about people. We're not just talking about numbers, we're talking about people who matter to God. And so here's a couple of things I want to pass on to you. First of all, in terms of the attendance of our church, so far in 2018, the average attendance has been 562 people across four worship services, three at our Heatherwood campus and one at our Lighthouse campus. Now, children that we've been able to minister to on a weekly basis, on average, is 135. So approximately 700 people on a weekly basis are ministered to through our worship services across two campuses, which is exciting. But really, the number of people we minister to is much larger than that. We figure about more like 1,200 people or more, because not everybody comes to church every single Sunday all at once. And so there's a lot more people that are ministered to, which, in terms of our sermon today about serving the Lord, means that there's a whole army of people that are being trained to go out and to minister to others. But it also means, in terms of a church family, there's a lot of people who we have to minister to, we get to minister to. And so that's exciting also. Now, in terms of volunteer positions, about 456 positions monthly that people are serving. And so this would be things like teaching and family group leaders and brew crew, greeters, deacons, worship team. And so, but on a weekly basis, in terms of Sunday through the rest of the week, about 216 people are serving. So that's exciting. Lots of people involved, lots of things happening in the life of the church. And one of the biggest reasons I mention all this to you is to say this: thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you do as a church to use your gifts to minister for the Lord and to care for each other and to build up the body of Christ. I want you to know, because sometimes when we serve, we can think, well, you know, just my little area. Am I really making a big difference? You are, because God's working it together. Every little piece comes together in God's grand scheme of things, building a spiritual house for his work. So keep it up. You're part of a bigger family, part of a bigger team that God is using in a significant way to help others. So thank you so much. One of the characteristics I love about our church, among others, but I'll just mention this one, is I love the pitch-in attitude. There is a pitch-in attitude around here. And I think it extends from three decades ago when the church began to meet at the YMCA. Because when you're a church plant, everybody has to do something. You can't sit on the sidelines because there's stuff that needs to be done. And if you don't step up and do it, it's not going to happen. And that same attitude has been part of the DNA of our church all these three decades later. I'll give you an example. There's a chair crew, and every Sunday morning at 7 a.m., there's a group of people that come in here, and they set up the chairs so that our seats have a seat to sit on in the services. And you all, in the third service, have that pitch-in attitude also. Because on a regular basis, we ask you, if you're physically able, can you just help stack some chairs and do the tear down? And so that's a great way that we see that. What if the chair crew came in on a Sunday morning and they just picked a chair off the stack and threw it out there like Bobby Knight and said, let them put up their own chair? You see, you wouldn't have these neat rows and these nice aisles and lots of leg room that you don't even have to pay extra for when you come in here today. But that's the chair crew, just using their gifts. Nobody really knows about that. They just come in early. And most of us probably still sleeping at that point, but they've come in and set up the chairs. So that pitch-in attitude is wonderful. Now here's where I need your help. I mentioned to you earlier about the blue pad. So go ahead and grab that. If it's closest to you, pick it up again. And we realize as leaders that there's a lot more service happening in the community than what we have necessarily tracked within the church. And so in terms of our reaching wide theme for 2018, we would love to know, where are you serving in the community? because we love to kind of get a bigger picture of our of the impact of people who are part of the Findlay E-Free family. So here's what I want you to do. Go ahead, take that blue pad, open it up. On the connection sheet, you'll see a little section that says Reaching Wide Community Impact. So for instance, Heather Woods has already signed up and let us know that she works at the City Mission for volunteers at the City Mission for 2 hours a week. And Leonard Lighthouse let us know that he's working with Youth for Christ on a volunteer basis for 5 hours a week. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take all that extended community impact and put it all together and kind of get a bigger picture. How are we reaching wide and making disciples in Findlay? I also sent this out on the Friday email, so perhaps you've already signed up through the email. That's fine, and you can follow that link to do that, but we'd appreciate that, okay? All right, so thank you so much for your service. Now, here's our series. This is the last message in this mini-series that we're doing called Serving the Lord. Quick review. A few weeks ago, we started out with a sermon on holiness, being set apart from sin. From 1 Peter 1:14 through 16, God declares, "Be holy, for I am holy." The second message was holiness set apart for service. And in 2 Timothy 2, we learned that we are to be consecrated to the Lord, we're to be useful to the Master, and we're to be prepared for every good work. We did those letters C, U, and also the letter P. Last week we talked about humility, a servant's attitude. From John 13, Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. Three attitudes of his that we are to emulate: love, humility, and service. And we learned that in the kingdom of God, the way up is to kneel down. In the kingdom of God, the way up is to kneel down. And so those three messages have laid a foundation for the action sermon, which is today. Okay, so we're all going to be action figures today, and we're going to go out and do something with as a result of this sermon. So 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11 is our passage today. We're going to be concentrating on verses 10 through 11, but let's all stand, actually, and we're going to read this scripture together as a congregation. Let's stand up, and the words will be projected so we can read in unison. Okay, so let's read together, church. "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." All right, thank you. You may be seated. All right, three next steps as a result of this message today to help me serve the Lord with my spiritual gifts. The first one is to know your gift. Know your gift. As a Christian, you and I have received at least one spiritual gift. Now, many believers have multiple gifts, but everybody has at least one. Here's how I'm defining spiritual gifts. Spiritual gift is a divine enabling to accomplish God's kingdom work. A divine enabling to accomplish God's kingdom work. God gives you a gift in order to accomplish his work. Notice in our Bibles that we received a gift. God is the source. I'm not the source. I was talking to Rex August last week. Rex August is one of our elders at the church. I was talking to him out in the hallway, and I mentioned him what I was preaching on this Sunday. So at that point, a week from then. And Rex was very quick to say, "Yeah, our gifts are from the Lord, and I'm to use my gift to honor him." So Rex gets it. It's not about him. It's not about us. It's God gives the gift. We honor him with the gift, and we turn it back over to him for his work. Now, a lot of people will ask, what's the difference between talents and abilities and spiritual gifts? I want to quote a wonderful theologian named Ernestine Carter. She's not a theologian by scholarly work, but she's a deeply spiritual woman. She's from my church back, the church I was part of back in Michigan. And I had my hand out like this because she's about that tall and a beautiful big smile. And Ernestine, in one of these classes, said, when you're born, you get talents and abilities. When you're born again, you get spiritual gifts. See, isn't she a wonderful teacher? I've learned that from Ernestine. When you're born again, you get spiritual gifts. It's not something that is innate to you. It's something that is given to you. Gifts are given to you when you're born again. So when you trust in Jesus as your Savior, you receive the Spirit of God, and He enables you to serve Him in particular ways. Verse 10 talks about the multifaceted gifts of God. God has a huge inventory, larger than Amazon's warehouse, and he distributes these gifts to people as he sees fit. So you might say, Pastor Blair, this is enthralling. Are there lists of gifts so that I can find out which one might be mine? Why, yes. Yes, there is. And so I've included them on this screen here. I did not put this in your bulletin. I meant to this week, but you can just write them down here. We'll leave them up so you can get them all written down. But if you go to Romans chapter 12, you learn about the gifts of service and teaching and exhortation and giving and leading and showing mercy. If you were to go to 1 Corinthians 12, you would see the gifts of a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, effecting of miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues or languages, and interpretation of tongues or languages. Now, many people would call that particular passage the list of the miraculous gifts. All right, Ephesians chapter 4, you'll learn about gifts. Maybe a little better way to phrase it is offices within the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor teachers. And then in our passage, 1 Peter chapter 4, we learn of two big categories, speaking gifts and serving gifts. And I'm going to throw this one in there too for your consideration. Those ones are from the New Testament. This is from the Old Testament. And so here's the context. Moses has received the outline for building the tabernacle. And God has gifted certain people to help build the tabernacle. And so here's what the Bible says. Now the Lord spoke to Moses saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all kinds of craftsmanship to make artistic designs for work in gold, in silver, and in bronze, and in the cutting of stones for settings, and in the carving of wood, that he may work in all kinds of craftsmanship. Now, the reason I say this is because I think some people in the church are like, you know, the traditional gifts, the gifts of speaking, the gifts of serving, you know, I don't speak real good, so I'm not going to be getting up in front of people to talk. And the things that the church offers in terms of service, yeah, I could do it, but it's not really my passion. But hey, you give me a hunk of wood, or you give me some steel or some metal to fabricate, I'll have something fantastic for you. Give me a week, and I'll have it back to you. People are just really good with their hands. And so I just want to help you see that God gifts us in certain ways. And if you notice in the New Testament, the different gift lists are all different. There's some that overlap, but so I don't think there's an exhaustive list of gifts in the New Testament. And so I would throw this one in there too as in terms of craftsmanship. So here, quick example in the life of our own church. About a year and a half ago or so, when we launched the Lighthouse campus, we have an exclusive lease on the Youth for Christ building on the west side of town, Lighthouse. And so that is just basically an empty shell, a large banquet hall is what it was. That needed to be outfitted for the purposes of our ministry. And that gave people in our church with the gifts of working with their hands and carpentry and electrical and HVAC and all these different things a chance to pitch in. And there were 2,500 volunteer hours given by our own people to make that building ready for its ministry purposes today. And think about what's happening. The word is being preached, children are being ministered to, people are getting baptized, people are getting saved. And somebody running the lights for that building helped there to be an environment where God could work. And so if you're not a person who's really into speaking or serving in the traditional ways, there's a place for you in using your gifts with your hands in craftsmanship for the kingdom of God. In fact, there's an example coming right up. We're going to do some renovations in our Treehouse Kids Ministry in the back. We're going to be renovating some rooms, moving walls. So if you have the gifts of demolition or the gifts in dealing with construction, electrical, all that stuff, we can use your help And you can use your gifts to serve the Lord that way. Talk to Pastor Doug Olson. If you don't know who he is, talk to me and I'll pass your name on to him. And we'd love to have you be part of that. That's going to start after Vacation Bible School. So mid-June and beyond, we'll be doing some renovations in our children's ministry area. Okay? So, question for you. Do you know your spiritual gifts? Maybe this is the 26th sermon you've ever heard on this. Maybe it's your first sermon that you've heard about this. Here's what you can do to discover your spiritual gifts. Read the passages that are in the Bible about spiritual gifts and pray, Lord, is my gift evident here? How would you show me what I could do in your work? Ask him in prayer. Ask others for feedback. Ask your buddy to go out for chicken wings and say, hey, I've been thinking about serving in the church. I don't really know what I'm good at, though. As you watch me serve, what would you say are my gifts? And ask for some feedback. Another thing that you can do is just experiment with ministry. Just get started. All right, quick quiz. Anybody want to guess what my first role in the church was? Not here, vocationally, but I was an usher. In the bulletin, we had a mentor who said, get involved in serving in ministry. And so I said, okay. In my church's bulletin, they were asking for ushers. And I was like, okay, I can ush. So I'll get out there. And I first started handing out bulletins at the door, greeting people and helping people to be seated. I moved ropes and helped to pass the offering bucket thingy-dingy that we had at that church, whatever we called it. Whatever, it doesn't matter. I helped out. And then eventually, I was asked to be part of a Bible study where there were 6 Bible studies, and the elder who oversaw this, he let me do 2 of them. And then he kind of touched base with me. How'd that go? And then eventually they gave me a Bible study to lead, and so on and so forth. And so just start experimenting. You see something in the bulletin? Start there. Start there. And then God will direct you as to whether that's a ministry long-term for you or not. Let me give an example of a person in our church. And I'm going to be using different names of different people throughout the sermon to give you practical examples. None of them actually wanted their names to be used, but they're agreeable from my perspective to be able to pass that on to you. I think of Mark Ruggles. Mark Ruggles has been in our church for about 30 years since its beginning. And Mark has the gift of teaching and the gift of evangelism. He has used his gift of teaching in children's Sunday school, in vacation Bible school, in teaching adult community groups. In terms of his gift of evangelism, he's always sharing the gospel with somebody. But more formally, he's taking groups of people to the prison ministry, and you'll see some of that listed in the bulletin. And so Mark's an evangelist, and he's bringing other people along with him. He knows his gifts because he studied it, and he started using them. And now he's helping others to develop their gifts, too. He's using them, okay? So here's a clear next step for you. If you don't know what your gifts are, sign up for the Serving the Lord class. It begins on May 20th, so 2 Sundays from now. And it's if you will invest 4.5 hours of your time over 3 Sundays, God, I think, can use that to direct you and get you involved in serving in different ministries, whether it's here in this local assembly or in the community or elsewhere. Okay? So take the time to do that. So know your gifts. Secondly, use your gifts to help others. Second part of verse 10 now. It says, do this as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. A steward is a manager of God's possessions, someone who oversees someone else's assets. So think about it. If you've ever worked retail as a manager, or maybe you've been a supervisor in a factory setting or whatever it may be, you don't own the assets of the company. You don't own the people who work under you. You don't own the product on the shelves or the product that's being manufactured. You don't own them. The owner owns them, but you've been entrusted with the faithful oversight of the people and the products in order to make a profit. And if you're not faithfully serving, you know, they'll find a different position for you or let you go. And so the point is, we're to be faithful managers of God's resources in our life, which are our spiritual gifts. As we are to manage our time, our money, our relationships wisely for the Lord, we're also to manage our spiritual gifts wisely and to put them into service. An important passage about spiritual gifts is Ephesians 4. You can look it up on your own, but Ephesians 4 tells us that the pastors and leaders in the church are to train the people of the church so that the ministry can multiply. Away with this nonsense that, hey, we just pay the pastor to do the ministry. Why is he asking me to do this? Don't we pay the guy? Let him do it. We don't do that. Believers are to be trained by the leaders of the church, the elders, the pastors, the deacons, and so that they can then go out and use their gifts. Everybody's role in the church is significant. Whether you've been a Christian one day or you've been a Christian for 35 years, everybody's role is significant. Here's a couple more examples. There's a woman in a church named Jennifer Dussault. And Jennifer has had an experience in her life where she's gone through a lot of trauma in her family. But she's also experienced God's healing in her life. And now she's combining that experience with her gifts of compassion and exhortation and shepherding to help counsel other people from the Bible. And she's training a bunch of other ladies how to counsel others. It's a beautiful thing that's happening in terms of biblical counseling in our church. And so you might say, well, she have the title of pastor? She shouldn't be counseling people. She doesn't have the title. Well, no, you don't understand the New Testament. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you have the Holy Spirit and you own a Bible, you can counsel other people. It's the one another ministry in the church. And so this is a wonderful thing that's happening. And Jennifer's doing an awesome job as God leads in her life. Another example here of using your gifts to help others. Casey and Megan Lichty. Casey and Megan are part of our church, have been part of our church for many years. They were part of the Heatherwood campus, and they were part of the core group that went to launch the Lighthouse campus. And so over the years, they've served in many ways, but more recently, they've led a family group in our church, which is our small group ministry. And from their group, they have launched 3 other groups. So they've sent out leaders from their group to launch 3 other groups. And one of those groups that they launched has now launched another group. Isn't that awesome? That's multiplication. And so Casey and Megan, practicing the gifts of hospitality and exhortation and their passion to see other people grow in their relationship with Christ. And so it's just a wonderful thing to see this happening. So using your gifts to help others. I heard this in a sermon many years ago at my parents' church from Pastor Steve Jones. So I want to pass it on to you because I think it's very helpful. In the world, the people who have the prominence tend to take on the most importance. So, you know, people who are up in front of others, they usually get hailed as, you know, great leaders, et cetera, et cetera. But that attitude ought not to seep into the church. We ought not to confuse prominence with significance. Don't confuse prominence with significance. So here's an example. My nose on my face is prominent. You can stare at my nose anytime you want because it's right out there for everybody to see. It's prominent, but it's not that significant. If my nose gets cut off, which I don't really want to have happen, I can still breathe through my mouth. Okay? I can still live. However, my heart is not prominent, but it's incredibly significant. If my heart stops, you know, lights out, that's it. And so when you think about the church, don't think that just because my gift is not prominent doesn't mean that you're not significant. Because everybody knows that in terms of the life of the church, although the pastors are the most prominent, it's the church administrative assistants that are the most significant. Because they're helping to organize things and make, they're the heartbeat of the church among other people. And so here at our church, next time that you see Lou Ann Lee, Kathy Rodebaugh, Melanie Martin, and Jenny Anderson, would you just thank them for their work that they do behind the scenes? They're not prominent. You know, you probably don't know who those people are. But they're very significant because they're the heartbeat of the church in making things happen behind the scenes. Do not confuse prominence with significance. Okay, so that means that your gift can be used in a great way for God's glory, even though you're not out in front of people. So what if the worship team decided today, you know what, I'm not singing. Pastor Steve says, I'll give my guitar to some person out there who's not even skilled at it. You know, worship would just be like cringe factor, like, that's terrible. But the worship team is using their gifts in order to lead us in worship. What if the brew crew decided, you know what, I don't think people should drink coffee. I'm not making, yeah, exactly. I mean, talk about a church split. And they said, well, I'm not making coffee today. What if people who had the gifts in terms of discipling and counseling one-on-one said, I'm not using my gift of exhortation. I'm not going to meet with those people anymore. What if the craft organizers didn't come in during the week so that the children could have crafts to reinforce their Bible lessons on Sunday morning? What if the person with the gift of faith and who prays all the time, nobody knows that they pray at their home, what if they said, I'm not praying anymore? Oh, man, that'd be so sad. Every gift is significant in the life of the church. Well, let me just say this while I'm on the subject is, thank you for all those who pray for this church. Thank you for praying for the leadership, the elders, the pastors, the deacons. Thank you for praying for God's protection for us and the wisdom that we need and that we be people of integrity who love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we minister out of the overflow of our relationship with Jesus. Thank you for praying for us. That's a great ministry. Would you continue your ministry of pleading with God to have his way through us and that we'd get out of the way? So use your gift to help others. Third next step is to use your gift to honor God. Use your gift to honor God. Now, I toyed with this verse within the series, so I finally get to work it in. But Romans 12:11 says, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. The New Living Translation translates it like this. It says, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Go ahead and put that up, please. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. You see, the point of you and I using our gifts is to serve others, but ultimately to honor God so that he'd get the credit for it. And Peter, in this passage, verse 11, again, two big categories, speaking gifts and serving gifts. So let me speak to both of those here for a moment. Speaking gifts would be like the gift of teaching, the gift of preaching, the gift of exhortation, the gift of evangelism. Serving gifts would be like the gift of helps or compassion, giving, faith, where you're sort of working behind the scenes and giving support. For those of us with the gift of teaching, let me say this. And I want you to hear me loud and clear, okay? So if your brain is not focused in, refocus yourself here. The position of teaching is not to be used for personal agenda or personal opinion. There's no place for that in the church. When you and I speak for God, we must be sure that what we say is what God has already said. We're not looking for creativity in doctrine. We're looking for creativity in terms of communicating that doctrine, but not the doctrine, okay? The doctrine has already been handed down once for all for the saints. And so we are to preach the word. A Christian teacher or preacher, an evangelist, is a herald. He or she is an ambassador proclaiming the king's message. We don't come up with the message. We deliver the message. And so for you and I, as we study the Bible for our family group or for children's Sunday school or for the youth impact ministry or for community groups, we have to work hard in our study that we accurately interpret and communicate scripture, and we do it with passion and we do it with skill because we want God to be glorified in it. So speaking gifts is very important. This is why Paul tells Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:1-2, he says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his kingdom, and by his appearing, preach the word. He didn't say preach the newspaper. He didn't say preach what comes up on MSN. He didn't even say preach what the latest popular pastor has come out with in a book. He says preach the word. And so that's what we're called to. When we preach and teach, we're to speak as though speaking the very utterances of God. And that is not to be trifled with. The second area is the area of serving in God's strength. Literally, serving in God's strength as He continually supplies it. That's what the word means. And so I think about this, this illustration. Let's say there's a fighter jet out on a mission, and the fighter jet has expended quite a bit of fuel on that mission, but there's still more to be done. They'll dispatch a fuel tanker into the air, and they'll somehow, in some incredible act of technology, take the fuel out of the tanker and link up with that fighter jet so it can fuel in the air. That's incredible. And so once all that is sealed up, ready to roll, they can continue on with their mission. This is what God does for us. As we're serving God, He comes along with this big tanker full of grace and power and strength and fuels us so that we can continue on with His mission. Let me share this example with you. One of the first funerals that I ever had to do as a young pastor was the funeral for a 5-month-old boy who died in womb named Aiden Jones, and Chris and Sarah Jones, his parents. So I don't know, I'm like 27, 28, something like that. This is one of my first funerals. And so the morning of the funeral, I wake up and I am just filled with energy, like with focus and physical strength. I don't mean to say this in a lighthearted, I felt like Superman, like I was filled with the strength. And so I was able to go on to minister in that moment at that funeral that day the way that God wanted me to. And you know what? Person after person came up to me and said, Pastor, I've been praying for you. Pastor, I prayed for you today. Pastor, I've been praying that God would use you. And that's where the power came from, the prayer of the saints, to get us through that moment as a church and for Chris and Sarah as parents and for me as the pastor as I had the chance to lead through that. But there's God helping the ministry happen with the strength that He supplies as we go. And so as you step out in faith to serve the Lord, He's going to supply the strength for you. He'll help you. Step out in faith. Let Him lead. Let Him fill you up. And this wasn't in my notes, but I feel like I should say this. Remember, when you're serving the Lord. You're serving the Lord. People are going to disappoint you, and they're going to tick you off, and they're not going to react the way that you think should happen. Who cares? Serve the Lord. We don't please men. We please God. So keep that in mind as we serve. The big crescendo here, though, is at the last part of verse 11. Whether my gift is speaking or serving, I need to use my gift to honor the Lord, to glorify the Lord. Okay, this just in. Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus has not turned in His resignation. There is no vacancy in His office. Christ is the head of the church. He's the star of the show. His name is up in lights, not yours, not mine. So that in all things, no matter what I do, I pray, I evangelize, I serve in different ways, I teach, whatever it may be, God is glorified through Jesus Christ. The glory and the dominion belong, His name is on it, belong to Him. It doesn't belong to us. And by the way, it's forever. That's what the scripture says, it's forever. And so there'll never be a moment where Jesus is like, okay, here, you take my glory. No! It's His. It belongs to Him. And I love what Paul Tripp says in his book called Dangerous Calling as he speaks to ministry leaders. He says there should be no glory grabbing. No glory grabbing. He's like, hey, get your hands off that. That doesn't belong to you. Get your fingerprints off the glory. It's not yours. It belongs to Him. He gets the glory. And so we serve the Lord with His gifts that He's given to us in order to serve others and so that He might be glorified. That's the point. A couple last, I don't have time. But let me end with this. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, He used the parable of the talents. And here's the story. 3 servants were given different gifts, different amounts of money to invest and to multiply. 2 of the servants went out and doubled it. 1 servant took it and threw it in the ground, put it in the dust and covered it up. When the master returned, the 2 servants who had doubled their gift returned it to him, and the master said, "Well done, good and faithful servants. You've been entrusted with a little. I will give you more." enter into the joy of your master. But for the one who took the gift that was given him, the investment, and just buried it, he said, you wicked and lazy slave. He cast him out into outer darkness. Now, which one do you want to hear? I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a little. I will give you much more. Enter into the joy of your master. And every single person sitting here today who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior has been given a gift, at least one, and we're to use it to honor the Lord. So if you've been using your gift to serve the Lord, keep it up. Keep it up. He's doing great things through you. But if you're not, your clear next step is to sign up for that class, Serving the Lord. It starts May 20th. That's what you are to do next. And God will help you through that class to hone in on how he wants you to serve him. I'm going to use my spiritual gifts to help others and to honor God. All right, church, let's stand together, and I'm going to pray this passage over us today. So as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Lord, we agree that that is true, and I pray that we would just be humble servants, set apart for you, so that we would use the gifts you've given us in order to build into the lives of others. All for your glory. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You are loved.